Blog Talk Radio.
To the Alaska Patriot Network. We're so glad you found us. It's so great to be back, folks. I am on my own platform now, doing my own thing. I have Lori Ann here as my co-host. We're going to get settled into the co-host and the host chair. So excited. We have a great show for everybody tonight. Some current events, some past events, some things that you just really need to know that you're not going to get in the mainstream media. So settle in, and we're going to get settled in here, and really appreciate everybody that is tuning in tonight, whether it's your first time, your second time, or 100th time. We're just glad to have you. And so Lori Ann has got the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show, and I do co-host on that show, full disclosure. So of course I'm going to, you know, promo this show. So everybody definitely tune in to the Lucid Libertarian show on Sunday nights, Blog Talk Radio. And you'll find me there as well. Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific. So, get settled in, and we are getting settled in. This is our first broadcast for a while. So I'm so excited to be here with everybody. Really excited. So here we go.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help, and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Well, I could tell you about him cheating and how I stood there while she was screaming out his name.
My blood pressure's down, and it's been that way since you skipped town. And I know you thought you're leaving would make me feel like screaming, but baby, I ain't even stressing out. I bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but girl, I ain't even getting mad, 'cause I've been getting laid back. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, and it's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Used to have these headaches all day long, but it's disappeared since you've been gone. And that girl next door, she sees me, loves how I'm taking it easy, blows kisses at me while I'm on my lawn. Bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but I've been getting luckier than that. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. I've been getting laid.
back, busy getting laid back. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back. Keep getting lucky, getting laid.
It's so good to be back with everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I cannot tell you how much I've missed you all. I've missed you greatly over this past couple months. I know I've been gone for a while, and I've been co-hosting on some other shows, but, you know, the Alaska Patriot Network has been, for the most part, silent. And I'm sorry, folks, but I had real life things I had to take care of, and we're broadcasting live from Prince Wales Island, rural Alaska. Welcome to my home. We have Lori Ann here with the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. You can find her show right here on Blog Talk Radio Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific to 8 p.m., sometimes a bonus hour. You'll find us both here, and you know, this show is kind of my baby. I've trained lots of hosts and worked for other networks and stuff, and I'm kind of creeping out on my own here. So I hope everybody stays with me and listens, and we pick up some new listeners. As always, we're unscripted. We do some show prep. I mean, we do the best we can here. We're just trying to bring you some discussions on topics that are mostly overlooked or censored by big tech and the mainstream media. And you all know how that goes. So, Lori Ann, I want to welcome you in.
Hello, my dear. We are together again. Congratulations on kicking off your show again after, it seems like forever, hiatus, even though it's only been a few months, but it seems like it's been so long since we've had our Friday time together, so I'm really excited.
No kidding, and we're in a different time slot. We're in a prime time slot. I was doing a daytime show before. Folks, Lori Ann has been with me since the beginning of my show. Well, maybe not since the beginning of Alaska Patriot Network, but we've been working together for quite a while. I would say, folks, and you can find my back episode on Talk Radio. You look up Alaska Patriot Network and you'll find my back episodes. And Lori Ann's on 99.9% of them. But, you know, Lori Ann, I just got to give you a shout out without getting all emotional and stuff. But, girl, you've been with me since the beginning. And I could not do this show without you. You are my tech backbone. You are my emotional backbone with this. You have been a huge cheerleader with me on this. And I just want to thank you for being with me.
Well, you know, I have the same words for you. You know, you trained me when I first started as a co-host, and then you've been my cheerleader as I started up my show. And so, you know, it goes both ways, doll. It sincerely does. And I love working with you. I love that we support each other. I love that we've become such good friends. And we make a great team, I think. And I definitely super happy to have you back.
Yes, and I'm sorry for the prolonged show beginning, folks, but I just had to kind of get my groove on. Those were kind of my signature songs in my old shows, so if you haven't listened to them, listen to them. You'll hear those shows play. But it was just kind of me getting my groove back on. just kind of getting back
into...
Well, it's Friday night.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
it is
to kick off
it
a show
Friday
on Friday night,
night
with some good tunes, you know, nobody can really hold that against you.
I have such an eclectic taste for music, and I know you do too. And I mean, those, I don't know why I like those two songs so much. And folks, it's Hadley Park, Another Bottle of Wine, or Rain Johnson, Laid Back. And I don't know why those two songs kind of get me in that mood that, you know, I mean, I feel like we talk about some pretty dark stuff and, you know, on a norm on the shows and some pretty heavy topics. And I can't help but feel when I start my show off, I want to start it off with some kind of light note because the rest of the stuff just seems to turn so damn dark.
That's true. That's true. Well, and those two songs are pretty addictive. I mean, it, you know, with just their groove and then the twang and then just what they're about.
Yeah.
You know, you can't help but get in a good mood, and it's like, okay, now let's slam on the brakes and let's get into the depressing shit that's been going on, you know, week after week after week, or the infuriating stuff, or the, you know, stuff that's going to get your blood pumping, and yeah. I hear you, because every week is the same, it's like, it's just a different flavor of doom, you know, but we got to talk about it. You know, it's just the way it is.
It's like O'Biden, as I like to call the meat puppet. O'Biden, you know, every week it's different flavor of ice cream. And for us, it's just different flavor of gloom. I mean, come on. You know, and we've got the midterms right around the corner. And I could not get the show up and going in time enough. You know, back some of my favorite candidates in Alaska and do interviews like I'd like to, but you know, you do what you can do and when you can do it. But I mean, the doom and gloom is always there.
Yeah. I already have tabs loaded up with stuff, possible topics to talk about. It's like, it's never ending. You know, we could probably do like a 6-hour show and still not get through talking about all the stuff that just transpires even just the past week.
I know. And for some of my listeners who have been, you know, wondering what the heck's going on, where's the Alaska Patriot Network? Well, we're going to take a little story time here and tell you why we have not been on air. So... I was gone from my house very rural Alaska for a very short time and some otters residency. And I had to tear down the house because once otters take up residency, there is no abatement. And this is no offense to cat owners or cat lovers out there, but when a family of otters takes up residency, it's like, cat overload, like something sprayed all over and you cannot get it out of the woodwork and you have to tear down your house because there's no other way. We abated the rugs. We abated everything out of that house. And sadly, after all the abatement, spending money on abatement, we probably should have demoed it right to begin with. So I have been rebuilding my home in rural Alaska, which is a task, monumental task, even during like regular economic times. I mean, not just financially, but logistically, shipping, supplies, you know, and honestly, had I built my house 2 years earlier, it would cost me probably half what it's costing now. But that's beyond the point. I have missed you guys so much, and I have been without internet, without power, living in a very small cabin on the edge of nowhere, and finally we're up and going. Shout out to Elon Musk. Thank you for Starlink. amazing. I never, ever, even, Lorianne, regardless of everything, had I had my prayer internet server or satellite server, this would be unreliable at best. And I'm not promoting Starlink or advocating for Starlink, but holy smokes, Lorianne, I can actually watch Netflix. Well, not Netflix. I canceled my subscription for that. That's woke bullshit. But I can actually watch LG TV.
Yeah, I hear
you. You know, Samsung TV or Hulu or whatever now. And
do you have Apple
and,
Plus?
Or,
you,
yeah,
Apple
and
Plus TV?
I have all the apps.
You gotta watch For All Mankind if you haven't already on Apple Plus TV. For All Mankind.
I think you already told me. All right, I better sign in.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. I'm actually rewatching it because I've watched all the stuff that I want to watch, so I'm going to pause my subscription, but I'm rewatching it from the start before the end of the month when my subscription ends because it's really that good. I cannot recommend that show enough. It is such a fucking cool show. I said frucking.
I know. All right, so folks, I'm a little PG on my show just because you never know. Like, families download the show and they want to listen on the boat or listen later on and stuff. And I want to make sure that it's okay for all your family. And thank you, Lorianne. Because,
other word, I mean, it is hard for me to hold back sometimes because I'm a natural born, you know, profanity user. But I do try to scale it back. But on my show, I do, on Lucid Libertarian, I list mine as PG-13 so that I can get by with a few swear words now and then. And so I have to remember to tone it back a little more on your show.
I know. And it's not because, I mean, like, I let that word fly freely around my house. I mean, it's not bragging rights, but, well, my children said it. They were not encouraged to say it, but it was like one of their handful of first words, you know. However, I do try to keep this so that your family can listen to this and you can be contained in the boat or the car or wherever you are. But so, folks, I do have a call-in number, and the guest call-in number is 515-602-9722, and then press number 1 to join the conversation. We are live. We're broadcasting live, so if you're listening to this right now, in the present time, not a recording, if you call during a recording, nobody's going to pick up.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we've ever said that. Why don't you ever pick
that
up?
Well, it should be obvious. If we're not live and you call in, we're not going to pick up.
Yes, and we also have the chat is open. If you would like to chat your questions or comments there, we'd love to hear input. And review and rate the show, please follow. Where do we dive in? I mean, the shittery is so deep, and shittery is a word we like to use here.
Well, my dear, it is your show, so you're at the steering wheel. I know. You've been my co-host on Lucid Libertarian the last, 3 or 4 weeks now? And so you're used to being in the co-host chair,
Elon.
So now it's role reversal. So you're in the steering wheel now.
Yeah. Well, like I'd like to say, hey, Elon, thank you for keeping it real and making this possible. I do not like promo his stuff. I do not own a Tesla. A Tesla in Alaska is not a good idea.
it wouldn't start for 6 months out of the year.
I cannot tell you, Elon Musk has done more of the social and internet and Starlink coming to Alaska has been huge, huge. And Lorianne, I am right now sending you a message in the sidebar of my mail pickup today, what I picked up for mail. And when I went to the little post office where I live, which is very small, it was all Starlink boxes. I cannot tell you, when you have like a internet service in rural Alaska like we have had, where you cannot download, you cannot watch YouTube videos or whatever kind of video things, you can't download anything. You can't do business. It's nothing. And this has been a life changer, literally, where people are able to seek medical care via video through their doctors where they were not able to. And full disclosure, I'm not Native. I do not live in a Native village. A lot of people assume because say you live in a village, you live in a Native village. And I totally forfeit Native villages, but I do not live in one. We live in an old logging camp that was kind of holdouts. I just call it like hardcore holdouts, and we stayed here. However, this is amazing. To have the Starlink is life-changing, and I'm so happy for it. And we are not advertising for it or anything. So, Elon, don't sue me for saying Starlink too many times, but I just love you, and I'm really excited to have Starlink, because without Starlink, there's no way I could do this from where I live now.
You know, primarily. Here in the lower 48, I want to point out, too, that, like, people don't really realize how large Alaska really is. It's larger than Texas, and a lot of it is islands. And so, you know, you have all of this, these stretches of islands. And so it's not like it's really easy to set up, you know, cell phone towers and lay out, you know, fiber or whatever to get internet to everybody, right? And so, and most satellite services have been really touchy at best. And so to have the Starlink be available and have it be reliable is really a huge deal. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and also financially. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I mean, Alaska has been so economically depressed by this administration. Unless you are a Native village and you are being pandered by Lisa Murkowski, you're not getting any kind of service. We've got fiber optics coming to our island with this infrastructure bill, but we're looking at like 2025-ish. I mean, come on, Elon totally beat him to the punch.
If you're lucky. Because you know how governments love to fucking take all the money and then just sit on it and not actually do what they're supposed to do with it. That happens all the time. Oregon is the same way. The politicians will get support. You know, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to bring all this internet to you and this infrastructure to you. And we're going to get money from the federal government and state taxpayers. And then they get it. And then they just like sit on it. And they say, oh, yeah, it'll come maybe in a year or two. And then it's like 5 years later. And you're like, okay, where is it, guys? You know, like that's how they operate.
Yeah, and if the fiber optic service they're offering is anything like the one that they've offered the other side of the island, IE, for example, if those who do not know what IE means, for example, the Native village is, over there, the internet service, not the native villages, just the service. And this has been life-changing. I mean, I really never, ever thought I could do this. I know Sunday night when I talked, when I was on the Lucid Libertarian show with you, we had a typhoon hit in our way. And it was really, really bad out there. And the show went off. I mean, I didn't get disconnected once. And that is a miracle. But, folks, I know you
did not. Yeah, which is so weird, too. I'm just going to interject and say that when I think of typhoons or hurricanes, I never think of that being on the West Coast. You know, like hurricanes and typhoons, that's the East Coast thing, or like way over like in Japan and stuff, you know, not along the West Coast of the U.S. It's just, it baffles me. Like, it's such a not a thing.
Yeah, it's not a thing. However, we share the same water as Japan. In Alaska, that's how far removed and how big we are. People do not understand. A lot of people don't understand. Hurricane is the Atlantic Ocean, and typhoon is our ocean. And what's the other one? An Indian Ocean. But yeah, we don't have hurricanes in Alaska. We have typhoons.
Yeah,
and
like I said, it's like, you know, along the West Coast here, we don't get that. We get some pretty killer storms, but, you know, when I think of typhoon, I think of, you know, like I said, Japan or Asian countries, you know, Thailand and Indonesia and stuff like that, you know, like way over, you know, to the east side of the Pacific Ocean. And, you know, so to think of it there in Alaska, you know, and like I said, people don't really understand. I never really understood until I started doing some Google searching on, you know, some events that happened in Alaska that you told me about. And I start going doing the maps and I start looking at the border, like, you know, how close you are to with Russia, you know, between Russia and you. It's like there's Alaska owned, you know, islands, and then like, you know, maybe 40 miles, you know, to the west, then all of a sudden it's Russia-owned islands or, you know, that kind of thing. And so, like, I didn't really even understand the topography of Alaska and how far it really stretches and how big it really is either. And so, like, to think that y'all have typhoons there is just so mind-boggling.
Yeah, exactly, because you would think of a typhoon as more of a tropical type disturbance. Because you have monsoon, and monsoons happen like in India, and then you have the Atlantic Ocean, which is your hurricane system, and then you have the typhoon, which is the Alaskan Japanese corridor, I'll call it. And it's funny, too, because, I mean, I won't say it's funny, because Florida just had a horrible hurricane, Ian, and I'm not going to, and, you know, we've had horrible hurricanes everywhere, but we just had a horrible typhoon in Alaska, you know, that hit western Alaska and took out entire villages. So, I mean, it's really interesting, and the typhoons here, I mean, in Florida, they'll give it a name. Here we call it Tuesday. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, I know,
like,
I sent you screenshots.
Is it after
of the
September
storm that
15th?
Came through.
Well, you know, then it's, you know, everyday thing, right? Up there.
Yeah, exactly. If it's after your birthday or before your birthday, week before your birthday. No, jokes. So I'm a September person. But, all right, so anyway, so let's just jump right into this. I would like to gushen off with Biden, Biden, the meat puppet, draining our federal oil reserve, our strategic, actually, not federal, strategic. I mean, strategic is such a powerful word. I mean, there's
strategic
like
reserve, like the two combined.
It. Yeah, I mean, come on, but strategic in itself defines billions of dollars of what the government's been pushing towards Ukraine. Strategic, Afghanistan, strategic. I mean, this never ends. But we have the strategic oil reserve, which is exactly what the words define. Strategic oil reserve. Strategic meaning, definition of strategic is, let's just Google it for the sake of whatever. But anyway, so it's not a, what do you want to say, something you'd use for domestic use. I mean, I didn't know the government was in the business of oil. Did you? Or fuel?
Well, heck yeah.
Marianne?
Always has been.
Well, I mean,
you know, government has been involved with oil.
Consumerism.
Yeah, but they've controlled prices and everything and manipulated it. And, you know, this move with Biden, I mean, he's draining our strategic reserves, and this, what is it, 15 million barrels, literally that would only get our country, the United States, by for one day. It's not going to produce, you know, it's such a midterm election ploy. Nobody is going to really see that reflected in the price at the pump. It's all for show. And with the promise, you know, so far, Biden has dipped into 180 million barrels so far in our strategic reserves. And we can't forget, when were those strategic reserves filled up to begin with? That was by Trump. Back when it was like $24 a barrel or something, you know, really cheap. And so Trump went to, you know, bought it cheap to fill up our reserves. And now with Biden's releasing this, you know, for political reasons, you know, now they're promising to buy it back. But when they buy it back, it's going to be at a markup of like $80 a barrel. Maybe 75. They're going to be paying three times as much to replenish it than what Trump paid to fill it up to begin with. And so, you know, if you think that the Democrat Party, you know, I thought it was the Republican Party that's supposed to be in bed and sleeping with big oil. But it's the Democrats that are sleeping with big oil with this kind of a move. If we're going to pay three times as much to replenish our strategic reserves eventually, this is huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And considering Trump bought what he could at a low barrel price, and the supplies he did buy, he was able to buy from U.S. producers. And these were not like big U.S. producers. These were small business. These were like keeping 45 people employed, keeping 50 people employed, you know. And I know they don't sound like a lot, but collectively they are a lot, and they're the backbone of America. They're backbone of what American principles are built on, backbone of what servicemen have gone across the world to die for, are basic principles. U.S. made, U.S. produced, U.S. sourced. But Trump was only able to, you know, acquire so much because Congress shut him down. Nancy Pelosi was like, we're not going to feed your cronies. We're not going to fill up your oil reserve. We're going to totally tank America, which they tried, but they haven't been able to yet. They will if they can, but we won't let them. And now here we are. Here we have a puppet. I refuse to call him the P word. The meat puppet is draining the U.S. strategic reserve for petroleum fuel. Now, that's not for consumerism. It's not for political polling numbers. It's not for reelection or to keep your party afloat. It is a stock. It's an emergency. It's strategic. It's an emergency. It's a stockpile. It's maintained by the Department of Energy, who is in the pocket of Klaus Schwab, George Soros, the rest of them, the WEF. And it is the largest publicly known emergency supply in the world. There's two different reservoirs, Louisiana, one's in Texas, and they have a huge capacity. It's really interesting because there is an agreement between in the international spectrum for the levels it will go to and where it will be maintained. And this goes back to the Carter administration. No surprise, especially with this administration, which has already far surpassed, in my opinion, Lorianne, the Carter administration. I will give it, we have not had to line up for license plates to be odd or even to get fuel. If you're older, you'll know what I'm talking about. Fuel embargoes, waiting at the line. But the biggest thing for this, Lorianne, for me, is the irony that O'Biden is using this moment and this venue to boost his pollster numbers. This is the green guy. This is the guy who does not want you to eat beef, but he'll go with Fetterwoman to a deli with beef written all over the window and have it on video and pay cash because he can't have a card. He shouldn't have cash either. He shouldn't have the nuclear codes to the world, but he does. I almost got lost there. But anyway, so I did get lost. Lorianne.
And I didn't even interrupt you this time.
I know. I got so mad about the beef and everything else. All right. So this guy is telling, all right. So I'm back on track. I got it back. Nobody pays me, so I just have to rely on my memory to pay me. But this is the same guy is telling you not to eat beef. He's telling you not to drive a car. They don't want you to fly. They want you to divest in fossil fuels. He is willing, he is shamelessly willing to flaunt that in front of your face, that fossil fuel reduction, that Saudi, I don't know. What do you even call what he did with the Saudis? He went to the Saudis and said, hey, don't shut this down. I don't want you to reduce production before the midterm elections. You know, what do the Saudis do? They do what businessmen do. Get shit. They go ahead and they reduce production before the midterms, which they should have as business people. I'm sorry. So what's the guy do? He totally rapes his Federal Reserve to keep your gas prices down the pump. I do not judge anybody that's happy about lower gas prices. I mean, come on. Come on, man.
No, but you have to do it in the whisper. Come on, man.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to lower gas prices at the pump. I did that. Like, yeah, that's going to be the next thing Biden does. By,
so
like,
hurry.
Maybe,
so hurry.
By maybe a
hurry
couple
up
of
and
cents.
Plug in your car. Exactly. So hurry up and go plug in your car so that, you know, I mean, where do you think your energy comes to charge your car? There's still emissions. I mean, because they have to produce the power. So either there's water or there's coal being burnt or there's diesel being burnt or nuclear reactors, which are even better, but have been totally villainized and not even considered. Instead of wanting to use things that we can use for fossil fuels, nuclear reactors, different types of technologies besides wind and solar that doesn't work in Alaska. You know, and the irony is that they're willing to give Alaskans solar money. Money for solar panels. I mean, come on. It's dark half the time. Not
I know, right? Like, are these batteries up there going to be like, are they going to be like so, like long-term storage so that during the summer when you have a lot of daylight, it'll store it long enough so that you'll have power in the winter when you have like no daylight?
Yeah, and I hear often from people in my neck of the woods, where they're like, oh, solar works great. And I'm like, well, dude, you're only here 3 months out of the year. Oh, isn't that convenient? The longest daylight hours of the year. And, hey, great. Is solar work? I have solar panels. I'm not going to lie. I've got some. I've got diesel propane generator. I've got the thing. I don't have a power grid like other people. And I wish people would think more like, and I know you think along my line, you get it, Lorianne. You're from Minnesota. You understand. I mean, like, not all things are guaranteed. Mother Nature has a different plan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I just sent you an article, too. Like, you know, here's the deal on electric vehicles. I saw this article, electric vehicle owners, this is in Australia, electric vehicle owners join forces and demand neighbors ration their energy so they can charge their cars. So they're literally putting these signs around in Australia saying, please read, dear neighbor, you may have noticed that blah, 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 is turning very green. There are now 4 EV in the street, which is great, as we encourage everyone to go green. We have been presented with some challenges in relation to electricity use. In short, our infrastructure is from 1822 and our cars are from 2022. The EV crew all met last night, and we are thinking about setting up what we will call a roster ration. Basically, to enable the charging of our EVs, we will roster our charging days, times, etc., and we ask that during this time, you ration your electricity use, i.e. air conditioners, washers, dryers, etc., turn them off so that we can be charging our cars. The small sacrifice today will help put an end to global warming and the associated issues. Now, this is Australia, but tell me, how long is it before we see places like, I don't know, California doing the same thing? You know, hey, neighbors, don't turn on your air conditioner. Don't use your washer dryer. Turn most of your lights off. Turn your fans off. Don't watch TV. Don't use your computers so that those of us with our electric vehicles will have enough energy to charge them. Be a good neighbor. Right?
Well, I do know that there were utility companies across the country, and I'm not going to name them because of liability. However, they did send out notices to their customers, and they targeted, and, you know, normally we don't do this because I think that all men are created equal. I don't care what color you are or what socioeconomic blah, 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 and wokeism bullshit you come from. But they were targeting their lower income constituents or customers and people that were owing money and stuff, and saying that if you reduce your kilowatts, we will make you a deal, essentially cutting them a break on their utilities. And they're like, we know you owe money. So they're putting the crimp on those people first. And Lorianne, that just rolls right into the social credit system we have discussed several times. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said social credit system. And people are like, what the heck are you talking about? What's social credit system? Well, let me tell you what a social credit system is. It's China. Like, they'll tell you, you go get a health checkup and you're 20 pounds overweight and you go to buy Twinkies next time you're at the grocery store and use your debit card, and the social credit system's going to say, hey, John Doe, you're 20 pounds overweight. You cannot have Twinkies. Or you've already bought your allotted fuel this month when you use your card. And that's why they're trying to get rid of paper money, too. I mean, we're talking social credit system stuff here, where people are delineated what deserve. And this same government that where people have 401ks and they've been working all their lives has seen, you know, $30,000-$40,000 drop in their 401k, but the president's given away free college bailouts. I mean, all right, so, I mean,
which he's had to scale
so
that back now, because now the courts are going on on the student loan bailouts. So now Biden's having to backtrack off of that now.
Yeah, but I mean, this is just a system and a type of false government that is hurting everybody with zero consequences. We've seen it with the jabs. We've seen it with our jobs being lost. We've seen it with our children. The CDC is recommending the jab to be included in school, to be qualified for public school. And they're going to get their jab one way or another.
Oh, and even better than that, the CDC just voted for pretty much including the COVID jab for children above 6 months of age. 6 months.
Six months.
And they're trying
to...
kids. Ugh.
Yeah. And if your kid wants to go to school next year and be in a public school, they're going to have to get that jab.
I would say no. I mean, the case for homeschooling just keeps getting stronger and stronger as time goes on. It really does.
Well, yeah. And then you have the state of Florida, who DeSantis has said, hell no. We're not going to do that. We are going to push back. We are not going to require our kids to do that. We need more statehood leaders who will push back. This is a United States of America. Your state is its own state. We're just in relation. This is a corporate agreement, not a autocracy, technocracy, or dictatorship, which people have forgotten.
Well, you know, and the sadder part is that most of the people are wanting to have a more authoritarian, tyrannical government. And they want it because of all the promises that they're being given. I'll have better financial security. And so, therefore, we need to have these leaders. We need to have this authoritarianism mindset. And people are, because of all the psyops, I believe it is our own government and media that it's also another part of the brainwashing is to get people to accept authority, to accept that we need leaders. We need people to do this for us. And that way we can just continue to live our comfortable lives. Instead of valuing freedom and valuing liberty. Made people afraid of freedom and liberty. Schwab.
Yes, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Florian, but that
goes to
speak where the Klaus Schwab, you know, and the 2030 agenda says that you'll own nothing and be happy. They're going to erase all your debts. You're going to own nothing. The government will own everything, including your health care information, your DNA, everything, your house, your debts, and everything, and you'll be happy. And I want you to visualize that. No debt, no money, no freedom. No health care decisions.
You get what the government is willing to give you based on the social credit
score. Exactly.
And you know what?
At that point,
damn it, you're going to drink roach milk and you're going to like it.
Exactly.
You're going to have barbecue maggots and you're going to love it.
Exactly. And that is exactly where we're going. That is the road we're going down. Where there will be no money. There will be no debt. It sounds real great. And all fine dandy unless you worked your ass off all your life digging ditches to make money. You know, come on. Come on, man. Come on. But no,
I know, and you mentioned the 401k. Like, what if you're somebody that is retiring right about now, and suddenly in less than a year or less than 2 years, you've seen your nice plush 401k retirement fund shrink by half. Now it's like forcing people to delay retirement. During COVID, everybody was offering like, ooh, you're close enough to retirement, so we're going to give you early retirement and give you this stuff. So go ahead and retire. We want you to retire. And now here we are, a year, maybe two later, and now it's like, oh, you want to retire? Nope, you're going to have to keep working because your retirement funds aren't worth shit anymore. You can't actually retire on it anymore. So you're going to just have to keep working. That's where we're at.
Well, yeah, but that is frightening enough. And like I said, in contrast of what the government wants to give away for people that sign legal documents and said, I am engaging in this legal document to take this loan and pay it back and everything and in this timely manner and stuff. We're willing to take away from people that have been working hard their entire lives $30,000, $40,000 just in this year. Folks, that's how much you've lost in your 401ks, your retirement. That's for some of you, that was maybe 2 years of your first wages, earned wages. I mean, a lot of us started out little years ago in our 401ks. But what's even more frightening is the fact that I see people often, you know, investing in Bitcoin, which I'm not saying is bad, or gold, or other heavy metals, or different, you know, Tesla even, or whatever. And when it comes down to it, when this agenda comes to light, the true currency will be air, water, food, and health care. And you will be happy. You will be happy with those things. I'm not saying that it's okay, but I'm saying that is what they are rolling out for you.
Don't forget your free cell phone.
I will not have it.
You know, everybody has to have a free cell phone, because otherwise how would the government track every move you make?
Yeah, exactly. And there will be no more hard currency. And it makes me cringe to think what we'll be bartering with. Will it be an organ? I mean, seriously, when you go to get a loan, are you going to have to put your kidney up or your liver, a lobe of your liver? I mean, okay, go ahead and roll your eyes. And I know it sounds a little hyperbole, but seriously, I mean, this is where we're at. We're at
it's
that
starting.
Dystopian
I just saw an article the other day where the USDA is encouraging regular people that have their own gardens. You have your own, you know, raised beds and you're growing your own food, to register with them. They want you to register your own raised garden beds, your own veggies that you grow for yourself. They want you to register that shit. Like, you know, this isn't crazy. This is the road we're going down. That's just an example. They want you to register with the USDA on that.
I think that's, it's not funny because it's, like, serious. But I don't know if you recall, Lorianne, when I got the farm, and I said, well, I'll plant in customary areas, but I'm also going to plant in, like, secret areas. And my husband just thought I was nutso for doing that. And I said, he goes, why would you do that? Why would you plant potatoes out in the woods out there? And why would you do this and do that? And I said, well, the government's got GPS on the regular stuff. I want to keep my private stuff private. And it's getting to the point where folks, like, people are, like Lorianne said, you know, having to register. The government wants you to register your garden. There was a time when in history, folks, if you don't remember it, when back when we were free, before big tech, before censorship, before 9/11 and the Patriot Act and all the government overreach, where it was actually a victory garden. Like, it was a show of patriotism and necessity at that time, where people actually took out their landscaping, put in food gardens, plot gardens, because they believed that they were fighting the axis of evil. And they were. We were defeating Germany. We were defeating Japan. Japan had a rogue, you know, imperialistic leader at the time, and it was a bad thing for the Japanese, and also same thing with the Germans. I mean, the Germans and the Japanese, they're great people. They're wonderful people, as my good friend Donald Trump would say. They're great people. They're wonderful people. They're people. They don't believe in the MSM, you know. But it's, you know, two tiny, tiny little nations. Think of it in the scope of things compared to what we're dealing with right now, politically.
Exactly. And then you have to ask yourself why. Why would they want to have you register your own private garden? Why? Because then you have to report your yields, and then they're going to want to tax it. Oh, you didn't have to go to the grocery store to buy your, you know, 25 tomatoes, you know, or your, you know, 20 potatoes or whatever. We want to tax you on it. That's the only reason why. Because if they're not getting the taxes and they're not getting the revenue in the grocery store, then somehow that's robbing the coffers, you know, and also to distribute. Oh, you have a garden? Well, now we need that food to help feed the homeless. So now you have to take 50% of your yield and hand it over so that we can, you know, feed the homeless or, you know, replenish food banks or whatever the case may be. You know, all for good intentions, obviously. You know, but so it's not a far-fetched idea where, okay, if we're going to have to register our gardens, then there's going to be a lot of people like you going, okay, well, here's the one that I disclose that the government can know about, but I'm going to have my own, you know, secret planting that isn't easy to find so that I can have my own stuff and hide it from the government. You know, that's where we're headed. Totally. You're not crazy for doing that at all.
Exactly. And, you know, we've seen this in Venezuela, Cuba, you know, all kinds of places. I mean, I go on and on. I mean, there's all these little pocket countries half you haven't even heard of. It's concerning. And especially, you know, you're looking at, like, the folks in Colorado during a heat wave who had their thermostats locked down. They signed into a contract that said A, B, C, and D. There's no denying about that. I mean, we've talked about this on prior shows. But do you really know what you're signing up for? And that's not just in a small contract like a utility company. I mean, folks, you're engaged in a relationship with the United States of America. Do you know what you're being signed up for? And it's so concerning. We're hearing this in the pro-life movement and or pro-choice movement or wherever you stand. I don't even want to use that one. But so many other, you know, like we've said this so many times before, it starts at home, wherever you live. And the neatest thing about the United States of America is you can live anywhere you want to live. I choose Alaska. Lorianne's choosing, you know, Oregon. Some of you folks are choosing Florida or, you know, God forbid, New York or California at this point. Not judging. We love y'all. But it's one of those things. That's the neatest thing about United States of America is that each state has its own constitution. And the rest of the world would love this. They want to be like us. The ones that want to be like us are far and few in between, sadly. They've chose to take the money from the one world order. I used to feel uncomfortable saying that. And the truth is uncomfortable. I mean, that is a hard truth. The truth is uncomfortable, and there's no one denying it. I mean, you cannot deny how uncomfortable it is. But each state has its own constitution. And I love to look on Twitter and some of these mainstream media sites and social media sites, I should say, and look at some of these comments. You know, people just falling over themselves. Oh, my gosh. And, oh, I can't kill a baby on will or whatever, you know. You know, it's pro-abortion or not anti-abortion, whatever it is. And they're looking at, like, Roe versus Wade when their state already has the Constitution written and their right to health care is already written in it. And some of the states that want to, these days, Lorianne, it seems like some of the states that want to do, and you know, pro-choice, pro-life, whatever, but they'll say, well, we're a pro-choice state, and we're not going to allow the Republicans to choose our right to live or die or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Well, your state constitution's already written. And if your state constitution includes that, then unless you vote in your state to change that, nothing's going to change. It doesn't matter what president you have.
I brought this up because on California's ballot is a constitutional amendment for quote-unquote reproductive rights for women. And literally it even says on their ballots, or, you know, in the description of the measure, that it will not impact any current change to California law. And I'm like, well, why then is there the need to put it into your constitution to guarantee abortion rights when there's no threat there? I mean, do Californians really think that anytime soon the California government is going to reverse track and suddenly start putting forth restrictions on abortion? Or do they really think that's going to happen in California of all places? The risk is very low. So I actually do not see that there's any need for this. And I see the backfire because, like, the way it's written, you know, my point was, well, okay, so you're going to guarantee a woman abortion rights up until when, you know, with no limits whatsoever. And so a woman that's, you know, 6 months pregnant or 7 months pregnant, let's say she gets a DNA test done, and the father turns out not to be who she thinks is the father. And so she decides, okay, well, I'm going to terminate that baby then. A baby that could fully well, if born, you know, be able to be alive outside of the womb, and but terminate it for those kinds of reasons. Or there's a test done and, oh, the baby will have Down syndrome. Or, you know, something else that's not life-threatening at all, or the baby once born, you know, to be totally healthy and functional and stuff. Some challenges, sure, but, you know, that's the ugly part of it, and with no limitation at all. And it's like, well, then I got to thinking about the doctors and nurses. If it's a constitutional amendment, then does that mean that a doctor or nurses that cannot stomach doing a late-term abortion for frivolous reasons, that if they refuse, now suddenly they're going to be charged with crimes? They're going to be charged and face jail time or heavy fees, lose their licenses, everything, because they refuse to conduct a late-term abortion? What about their rights? What about the right for them to say, no, I'm not doing this? This is barbaric in every level. There is no method whatsoever that is humane in any sane person's eyes to abort a baby during the third trimester. And something like that takes away the right of a doctor or nurse to step away and go, no, I'm not doing this. How about that? Nobody wants to think about that. The ramifications of these feel-good constitutional amendments that sound good and that they're convinced has good intentions will come back to bite them. It will turn ugly. And when it's a state constitution, then what happens? It's not just a law that needs to be struck down. Now it's a constitutional amendment from the state that needs to be struck down. And good luck with that. That's where we're at.
Yeah,
like, people need to fucking think about this stuff.
Yes. And also you have to consider the Nuremberg consequences of that. If you were a caregiver on that side, where does your rights begin and end in saying this is genocide? This is because this child was not healthy enough, or this child was not the right gender, or this child was not the right gender to change a gender to make it more convenient. I mean, is it easier for a man or a woman to become another gender? I mean, if you can become another gender, you're pretty much the same gender you always are, but you can always change your genitalia. I mean, are they going to take these factors in? And where do these people as health caregivers have a right? Where does that begin and end? Where is do no harm? What's that mean to anybody anymore? I mean, I'm at a loss for words, Lorianne. I mean, you brought that to a new total level by bringing up the health caregivers' rights. People do not consider that. And I know that there are a couple news cycles generating that involve that. But folks, you need to advocate for your health caregiver. If you see that they have been falsely persecuted for standing up for what they believe in as genocide or any other reason, we need to figure out a way collectively to address this. I don't know, Lorianne, if there is a way to formally address this. This is alarming.
You know, my stance is that states and or our U.S. Constitution, what we need is an amendment that defines when unborn life is protected life. And by doing that, you know, that can be flexible, because right now it's about 24 weeks where if a woman has a premature baby, 24 weeks is when there's a good chance that the baby will survive outside of the womb. You know, yes, it'll need to, you know, have oxygen and stuff, but it can survive. It's developed enough to survive outside the womb with some medical assistance. And so right now that's at about 24 weeks. But as technology improves, that can change. So an amendment that says when it is, you know, like a standard, you know, right now the standard is 24 weeks. Whatever the standard is, that then becomes protected life. And that's what we need. And then it won't just be for abortion, but it'll also solidify when somebody harms or kills a woman that is pregnant past that point. It'll solidify laws that say, yes, now that is a double homicide. Or, you know, you beat up a woman and shoved her around, she left her baby. You can be charged with a homicide now because that is protected life. And so it's not just abortion that this would serve. And the reason why I say that this needs to be a new amendment is because, you know, back when our Constitution was made, the term born was really the only reference that they had. They didn't have technology to understand really how fetal development progresses. They didn't have the technology to do ultrasounds or put cameras up there or see what's going on inside the womb. And so born was the standard. And that standard is now outdated. So we need to go beyond born. We need to go to unborn, protected life of the unborn, once it is reasonable that unborn life would survive outside the womb. I think that's where we need to go with this. And
Yes.
You know, it's not
going to
satisfy everybody,
Lorianne.
But it's a start. You know, it's a start. It you know, it's definitely a start and has more than one purpose than just abortion alone. It's also for laws that protect if somebody harms a pregnant woman, like I said, and that baby, she loses that baby, you know, she's 6-7 months along and the baby dies, then that solidifies laws to charge that person with a homicide. Especially, you know, first degree homicide, like with a tent. That would get the psycho, you know, psycho boyfriends or ex-boyfriends that the woman might be with, that, you know, he goes all psycho on her, doesn't want to have to pay for the baby once it's born, beats the crap out of her, throws her down the stairs, she loses the baby, then he can be charged not just with domestic violence, but with actual homicide of that unborn child. I think that's where we need to go. That's a constitutional amendment that I would support, is defining when life is protected life.
Well, yes, and we're not talking about like, if they could keep the life alive or if they could sustain life outside the womb or anything. We're talking about a society that can send men to space. And so, I mean, 24 weeks is not a reach. And yeah, it's a hard stretch for the baby and it's a hard stretch for the mom, you know, or parents emotionally. But this is not like, we're not talking about space age technology, like stuff that's never been, you know, conceptualized by mankind, the stuff we use every day. So, I mean, this is beyond Abraham, you know, we're too far along in society to not realize these constitutional amendments. As you know, your state constitution is what it is. If you don't like your constitutional amendments in your state, you can still move. It's a free country. And that's the best part about this. It's a free country. So if you do not like a heartbeat law in your state, find another place to live. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have choices, but what I'm saying is you still have choices. Does that make
sense? I think that what I'm saying, you know, to put some type of value on unborn life is what's needed, and it needs to be constitutionally protected.
Yes.
And I think, you know, even most of the Democrats, the vast majority of Democrats, also agree that a third trimester abortion for any reason, they can't stomach that. You know, when it's because the baby probably isn't going to survive, there's something wrong with it, or it's a threat to the mother, which I think that there's always got to be an exception when a pregnancy has a very real threat to the mother's life. And the reason I say that is not trivial. I say that because a woman, if anybody, doesn't matter who it is, threatens her life, she has the right to self-defense, even if that life is their own unborn child. So there always has to be an exception for the health of the mother and the life of the mother. That always has to be there. So, you know, because like I said, it's a self-defense argument. But other than that, most people, a good 80% of people, Democrats, you know, 80% of Democrats or something like that agree that third trimester abortion should not be a free-for-all, that's going too far. And yet we have these extreme leftists that are dominating and dictating policy and allowing third trimester abortions for any reason. And it sickens people. That's why Democrats are losing their base, because their true base does not believe in this stuff. And they're trying to, these far leftists are trying to convince all the other constituents that it's somehow justified, that it's somehow a good thing, because this is a woman's right to her reproductive choice. And they're convincing people of that. And it's like, well, why couldn't you make that choice during the first trimester when it's not as a barbaric procedure to do than a third trimester? It is truly barbaric. Ripping them out limb by limb, going up there and trying to sever the spinal cord before they pull this unborn baby's body out piece by piece in some cases. It's truly sickening. And most people do not think that that should just be a woman's choice to do for any frivolous, stupid reasons she has. If she was going to do it, why is it so far-fetched to put a limit on it, a reasonable limit, at least the first trimester, for heaven's sakes? If you don't feel comfortable going as far as a heartbeat law, then fine. At least compromise with the first trimester. You know, if you're going to do it then. Before that baby is so far developed that it becomes truly, in every sense of the word, a barbaric murder. There's got to be some common ground. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. All right, we have a caller. We're going to bring this caller in. Do you know this caller?
I'm actually not in front of the switchboard right now, so...
Oh,
go ahead and bring
him.
Maybe it's Cinnamon. Is it Cinnamon, since she's in the chat?
I don't know.
What are you guys talking about?
I don't have my cheat sheet. Hey!
I haven't heard nothing about food. Do we call in? Do we get a sandwich and a drink?
Well, like a bologna sandwich and some Kool-Aid. Pianki, that's you. I know your voice anywhere.
Yeah, I like great
Kool-Aid.
How
you doing, bud?
Man, that's cool stuff. I'm doing fine.
I love it. I like my Kool-Aid with a little less sugar. I always liked it kind of tart.
Oh, we used to have that when we was kids. Kool-Aid, man.
Kool-Aid. I had cheese. I had the cheese, Federal Cheese Line cheese and butter.
Well, you remember when they first came out with pizza, and you could buy like a kit and put it together, put the cheese on it, put it in the oven. Man, you talking about something stink. Woo!
I know. My goodness sakes. All right, folks, yeah. This is Pianki. Pianki, thank you for calling in. And, you know, I know you've called in to the show before, but this is my first broadcast on my own on the Alaska Patriot Network all summer. So glad to have you call in. Thank you so much for calling in.
And you are independent now. You are your own deal now. You don't have to answer to anybody or anything anymore.
I never did.
Well, I hope so.
Well,
it took me a bit of an hour to send you this stuff. Yes, it took me about an hour to forward you the letter I got back from the COS here in Louisiana, Laurie.
Well,
so it's
I was
on your gonna
say,
Facebook
how did
message.
The constant, how did the Constitutional Convention go?
Well, it wasn't a convention. It was just a local meeting. And we have we're trying to spread the word, explain to citizens about what their constitutional rights are. I want to contact a representative, a congressional representative office, and order about 200 or 300 of those handout constitutions And I would like to talk to groups of people and hand it out and explain to them just what type of powers that they have that they don't utilize.
Well, you're welcome to share here, my friend. Yep.
Well,
you have some time here.
Speaking to you two is like preaching to the choir. Come on, you guys know.
I know.
You might, matter of fact, you might fall asleep on me.
No, no,
you
no,
fall
no,
asleep on you?
No. No, 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 you're not talking to us.
Yeah.
Come on, it's just two of us listening. It's not. It's more than the two of us listening. I mean, I'd love to hear what you guys came up with and what you know and everything. I mean, this is so important. This is the base of grassroots.
Well, it's still ongoing. And as Article 5 in the U.S. Constitution says, it gives the power to the states to do certain things. And people just don't know that the federal constitution, the federal government doesn't have all the powers that they make out to be. They just bogart their way and people kowtow down and let these things happen. Running lock shot through the community, spending money heads over fists, borrowing money. Those things need to become obsolete. Going into states, telling states what they can't do and what they should do with their own land is if they don't have the will and the audacity to do themselves. And that's just totally wrong. And these agencies that's being used to go against the American public, whether your convictions is religion, whether you are for school choice and you want to hold your local school district voted board, hold their feet to the fire without being accused of being some sort of terrorist. And even if it didn't happen by the AOJ, the Attorney General of the United States, I tell you what, there's all sorts of signs and indication that that's on their mind. So no, you have to fight back. You have to fight back and get the power back to the states and take those powers that the federal government has given to itself, take them away.
And that the states have given to the federal government. That's the other part of it, is taking back the authority that the states have handed over to the federal government, mostly in error, and start taking that back. And that's where the power of the Convention of States comes in, is we hold the reins, and our federal government and even our state legislators have convinced people and the media that the federal government is at the top of the hierarchy and can dictate everything, like the federal government is king. And that's absolutely not true. We have 50 kings in the United States of America, basically. And that king is state governments. And the states have the power to take their authority back.
I wish people would look at it like the meat puppet, O'Biden, is the, well, pretend CEO. And the 50 states are the board members. The board members have significant shares. And without all the board members or even one board member, the CEO does not have any sway. And that is where, if you look at it like in that perspective, it's easier to see where this false administration has completely went from stealing an election, illegally inhabiting, you know, Pennsylvania Avenue or a swanky place in Delaware basement. These people are imposters, and no other corporate paradigm would support this. It just is unheard of.
Well, yes, and also people need to look at the obvious fact, geological fact, that we live on a continent, and this continent, other than Hawaii, this continent holds 50 countries. They're technically countries. They have the same structural makeup as any other country. And they're conveniently called states because of an agreement to unite and have some sort of border, international border protection, and protection from international invasions and powers, and a few other things also. You know, there's something that the federal government does pretty well, like the Federal Aviation Administration. That's done well. And maybe one or two others, or a few others. But things like the Department of Education, that should go back to the states. Department of Agriculture should be more centrally located and controlled with the states.
Amen.
And I can understand why the states gave away a lot of power, like the national park system, because they don't want to manage the parks themselves. No, take that back and put your own people within your state to work, whereas they can benefit from it and also, you know, have a job to use to raise families and build neighborhoods.
Yeah, but Pionki, look at the administration that introduced the national park system. I mean, that was a big push on the Green New Deal back then. I mean, this was not something to save the bison or preserve this or preserve that. No, that was the federal land grab and they're doing it again. They're doing it right now. We're doing this speech.
Yeah.
This administration says we're doing it.
The even better part with all this federal land, then our federal government can go, okay, China, we'll send you, we'll sell you 100,000 acres of our national forest or our national park, and we'll give you the mineral rights to it as well. Like, that's what it opens up the door for. That was the whole plan to begin with.
Exactly.
Well, it's easier for outsiders to bribe and coerce individual politicians that sit on committees in Congress. It's very easy for them to do so. We have seen many cases. And one question is the fact that the amount of money that it takes to get elected at a federal position compared to what you're paid. So a lot of that money is coming from outside due to outside influence. You take the gubernatorial race down in Georgia, look at the dollars that come from outside of the state of Georgia that's sponsoring, supporting Stacey Abrams. One would have to raise an eyebrow and come to terms with the fact that you're talking about the piper, paying the piper. I know if I was to give that type of contribution, I would expect something back in like kind, if not more. But for some reason or another, people's attention are on a lot of buzzwords and a lot of innuendos that really have nothing to do with it. Stacey Abrams cannot control Georgia. The Georgia is controlled by the state legislature. She's just a figurehead. Well, for some reason or another, she needs to be
submitted. For Soros.
Absolutely. She needs to be a symbol for a particular group there in that state. I can understand their sentiments. But at some point in time, common sense and good judgment has to overcome plain old symbolic sentiments.
Well, they've been grooming her for a while and pruning her and grooming her and doing all kinds of things for Stacey Abrams. And she's not even marketable. I mean, this comes from a white woman. And you know, I don't care about race. But, I mean, I'm sorry if I was supposed to be a targeted what do you call, populists or, you know, I can't think of the word right now, but, you know, Sawplut for this. I mean, she's not, if they were trying to market her to me and I was a black woman opposed to a white woman, I still wouldn't pick her. She has no appeal to the human being. What's her appeal to the human being? That's exactly where I was coming. Where's her appeal to any general human being or demographic?
Well, see, where the thought process goes astray is to consider that all people of her hue, her racial hue, her tone, her skin color, is falling lockstep in behind her ideology. That's just not true. It is not true. And really, it's an insult to even pose that out there, like Joe Biden did, reminding me that I ain't black because I didn't vote for you, Joe Biden. And that is a tremendous insult.
Amen,
nobody takes advantage. Yes.
Well, I just, and you know, it's so frustrating as a white conservative woman that I don't want to pander to that. And, you know, I don't care if I'm canceled because of that, but I refuse to pander to race. Because, I mean, when I encounter my friends or people on day-to-day, I see, you know, believe it or not, there are black people, there are Hispanics, there's all kinds of people in Alaska. It's just not natives and white people or Norwegians or whatever people think, or Russians. I mean, I'm encountering all kinds of people. And it's not just in Alaska, it's all over the world. And I don't see white, black, or anything before me. And they want to paint that picture all the time. And I'm so sick of apologizing. I refuse to apologize for being my God-given whatever I am. I was just born, just like you, Pianki, just like you, Lorianne, just like you, listeners. I was just born. And it's so frustrating. I am so sick of pandering to race. And it's not because I don't care about things that go bad in this world and stuff. Things happen bad to people. They have bad things happen to me. Bad things happen to Pianki. Bad things happen to Lorianne. It just sucks. And it has nothing to do with your race or your gender or your ideology. Am I that far off, guys?
No, you bullseye, dead on. And, you know, merely conservatives, at least me, I just ask that we have standing statutes, laws, that was written in the Constitution and the protection, all of that. All we ask is that it be respected. It seems like they want to impose their will and ideology and lifestyle on the others. No, live and let live. Live and let die, as it was said in the James Bond flick. If you want to do what you want to with your body, it's your body, your choice, then why come I can't have my child my choice and put it in the school system that I prefer for it? Why come I can't have
Amen.
My own weapons and the bullets that I need? It may be a club. Maybe I need to have a knife that has a 6-inch blade rather than the restriction of a 3.5-inch blade. I can't gut a deer with a 3.5-inch blade. Or even so,
exactly.
I may just want to peel an apple.
Exactly. I mean, I may need an AR-15 to go deer hunting because I have arthritis. Seriously.
Well,
I mean, this is not a joke.
Quietly as a kept,
I mean,
AR-15 Yeah, AR-15 can be muzzled down to a 22 long rifle to go squirrel hunting, shoot them in the jaw so that you don't proliferate the meat. I mean, we have to consume. Yep.
Exactly. And also with my, like, say, if I had arthritis, you know, if I had a lever or I had a shotgun or whatever, it's going to slow down my response time and I'm not going to eat. I mean, these are important questions, and they may seem trivial to some people, but these are important things. And, you know, it's a sad world we live in. Sad squirrel world.
What they like to impose their rights and wills and lifestyles under other people who otherwise would not be tolerated of it, just like this critical race theory. My goodness, you got black people who don't want that to even talk to their children, but they are never asked. The questions, pre-prescribed questions, cleverly, strategically planned. The microphones always put into the face that I believe these people just happen to walk up at the right time because that's how they're being scripted to them. And it makes it sound like there are the consensus of the general population. I hate to tell you, but it's not. That is not what people want. And nobody's stopping you from doing it to your children, but why do you want to do it in a public school? And I know what the motive is behind it. I dare not say now, but it's quite obvious that you have a guilt and shame tactic that go along with the program, trying to shame a particular ethnic group within our nation.
Yeah, and sadly, all they've done is, like, set us back 40 years. I mean,
well, you're setting me back.
I
know what you're saying, but we just have to ignore
that. No, seriously. Amen. No, I agree, Pianki. They're not setting you back, but they are white-shaming people back 40 years. I mean, it is a eggshell walk if you are a white conservative and you're trying to speak your frame of mind and stuff. And I don't know, it's awful. This whole woke culture is crippling.
Yeah, especially when you do it on technological marvels like the internet and the media. Those are public accommodations. So why would you restrict what people say on a public accommodation? We never done it with Southwestern Bell. When you was on the telephone, even though, look, we at one time had party lines, remember?
Yep, I do. I was Hudson 57. That ages me, but yeah, I will say we were on party lines.
Okay.
Back in the day, I'll never forget.
So it looked like
I
you guys about to run out
on
of clock.
The party line.
Yeah, it looked like you about
well,
to run out of clock.
Well, the party line was
the
beginning of Facebook.
Yeah. I don't want to hold you guys up. Laura, don't forget to check your Facebook message. I got that response, and I'm still on them, so hopefully we can get something resolved, and maybe to your liking.
Well, Pianki, I want to thank you so much for calling in, my friend. You've been a longtime supporter. I've had you on other shows and co-hosted on shows that you've, you know, called in on. You're just a solid rock, and I adore you, and seeing your number pop up was really encouraging tonight. Thank you so much.
Well, I really enjoy hearing your commentary on the otter family. Talk about them some more.
The otter family.
Talk to you later.
You know, I will have a morning Alaskan show where I do talk about Alaskan stuff only, so I hope you tune in for that too. That's coming up. We're getting settled in. I got to get this house finished. It's been a real project, is all I can say. But, you know, I mean, to ship stuff into an island and truck it across a couple hundred miles for your supplies, just,
yeah.
I really appreciate you, Pionki. Thank you so much, and God bless.
So do I.
Thank
Pionki's
you.
Always pretty reliable, and hopefully
I
you will,
Pionki.
You know, call in to my show, Lucid Libertarian, on Sunday night. Definitely welcome you to call in there, too, as well.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Pionki. Thank you for calling in. All right, folks. We're just about to the end of this broadcast, and this has just been shoot from the hip style broadcast, and I really appreciate everybody.
Although we could go into overtime if we wanted to. You still got you got the bonus hour too if we wanted to utilize it.
I know. But I just want to I'm so appreciative of everybody that like tuned in tonight. This was kind of a, like I said, shoot from the hip broadcast and getting back into the groove of things and stuff. Do you want to go in the third hour? I mean, we could do a third hour bonus. We do have clips we haven't played and
yeah,
a couple cool songs we haven't played. And it is Friday night. I mean, should we live on the edge? Should we be dating?
I mean, how do you feel? If you're up for it, I'm game.
We could totally be dangerous. But before we end our broadcast, I want you to plug your show while we're live.
Yes. So we have about 2.5 minutes of the live broadcast.
I know how
so
much time.
If you guys are out there listening and you want to call in, do so now before we go into the bonus hour, which is part of the show recording. But you have to call in before the live broadcast ends. So call in 515-602-9722. And then that way we can go into the bonus hour and you can be included. If you're out there, call in now while you can. And then Sunday night is my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Dahl will be joining me as my co-host, so we have a little bit of a role reversal. And so we'll have all kinds of fun then. So, yeah, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann here on Blog Talk Radio, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Do the math for your time conversion wherever you're at. And, yeah, so let's go into a bonus hour. And, yeah, I had uploaded some clips that we can certainly play. And I'm sure we can fill in a bonus hour easy.
Easy peasy. So while we're getting snuggled in and stoking our wood stoves or fires, I have a quick song for you, and we'll be right back.
All righty.
I never believed all the whispers about you. You strolled into my life surrounded by gold hue. Oh, and it was good, wasn't it? The last time I recall innocence. On your couch, you sing to me about the traitors who walked out.
into our bonus hour. Welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. So glad to have you all. We have Lorianne here with us, and we are in our bonus hour. We have some bonus clips for you in our bonus hour. And, yeah, we're back. Lorianne, you with me?
Woohoo! Yeah, woo-hoo. You sound like you're, like rearranging your cabinets or something.
Yeah, I am back to the headset. Moving back. We were on break.
Yes.
So I had to do break things. So we should be back online here.
Isn't
thank
this
you,
nice?
Everybody.
You, when you were on the previous platform, you did not really have the option for the bonus hour. And now that you are independent on your own with your own account, now you have the luxury of utilizing the bonus hour. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it is. Well, I had the bonus hour before. I was a three-hour show. So a two-hour show with the bonus hour is a bonus.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you had somebody right after you there for a while. You had Jemana with the Right View right after your show. And so you didn't really get a chance to utilize the bonus hour even when you had the three-hour show because of that. But now that you are, you know, independent and you liberated yourself, much like I did back in March, now you have full flexibility, and that's an awesome thing.
It is, and I know that you downloaded some awesome clips for us tonight, and some really cool information.
You know that you love J.P. Sears, so of course I had to include
you know
one of his latest. I didn't think you would object if I uploaded that.
Well, he is a freedom loving patriot such as you and I, and it's, you know, his perspective is so unique because, I mean, the guy is a comedian, but I mean, he brings the heat. I mean, hello, JP. Seriously. I mean, there's,
I know, I love his videos, like, especially when he's like, when he's mimicking the far left, you know, and like he puts on the really like super blue like makeup and like lipstick all over his face, and he makes himself look up, you know, look like a drag queen basically, only even more.
Well, yeah. Well, it's hilarious too. I love his fake news. Like, and we're with the fake news. It's fake news. You know, and he's got his torn up suit and everything else. And I mean,
and
the
then
guy,
when he
the
talks
visuals.
About COVID.
and the
vaccination.
For a while. Vaccinations. Oh, my goodness sakes. We need to upload Elmo.
Ooh, yeah, the Vaccinate Me Elmo. Okay,
Elmo.
Yeah. Yep, okay, on it. I'll get that up.
That was a mainstay for everything. Because, I mean, Vaccinate Me Elmo clip carried me through the scamdemic. I mean, I love that clip. I played that clip all the time. Because, I mean, it said it all. I mean, it was groomer and creeper and everything in one. I haven't listened. When was the last time you listened to
It's been a while. Oh, and then I gotta upload Woca-Cola, too.
Oh, my goodness sake. Yes, yes, yes. We'll never forget what Woca-Cola happened. Well, let's go ahead and and launch. As I'm laughing, let's go ahead and launch this. J.P. Sears, they admitted it, and we were trying to cover it up. In exclamation marks, clip here, and this one of J.P. Sears' most recent clips, and there isn't anything but this guy is not like over the top and so soberingly like in the moment. So you ready?
You bet I am. Go ahead and kick it off when you're ready.
All right.
I was looking up Vaccinate Me Elmo. And I still have it saved in my clips. So
I should have figured that. All right. So let's go ahead and 1, 2, 3, and we're off to J.P. Sears land.
Aerosol. Good for your hair, bad for the environment, but got to pick your battles. Good evening and happy nuclear Armageddon. Our top stories tonight that we'll be spinning in order to manipulate your mind are Pfizer finally admits it, Biden's got a new scandal in Saudi Arabia, no laptop needed, Tulsi Gabbard leaves the Democratic Party for some reason, Alex Jones is ordered to pay nearly $1 billion, and schools are creepier than ever. What are they doing there? Find out. But first, our top story is brought to you by Pfizer. While testifying at an EU hearing about their very profitable treatment that they, along with governments, have pushed, coerced, and mandated citizens into taking in order to stop transmission, Pfizer admitted they never tested their product to see if it stops transmission.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market.
But I assure you, this shouldn't be seen as a big deal, because at this point, we're just splitting hairs over these finer details. However, the company is expected to be fully accountable by being forced to gaslight the public and pretend this never happened. Nonetheless, the world is shocked to learn that the company that's paid the largest criminal fine in U.S. history, $2.3 billion to be exact, would purposely mislead the public. There's no way anyone could have seen this coming. Following the criminal organization's admission, posts like this have popped up all over social media. And our official statement is, we don't know what those posts are referring to. With regard to their product, it turns out that all the corresponding censorship that's been going on for the past 2 years has been censoring truth. Once again, censorship proves to be on the wrong side of history. What are the odds? Turns out 100%. But that's just throughout our entire history to date. We'll keep trying to defy those odds with our continued censorship efforts for your protection. But what do the people have to say about this situation? Well, when Pfizer's admission broke, a viral post by James Smith, which much to our disliking hasn't been censored, said, "So it turns out, get to save other people was a farce. I think I owe a lot of people an apology. I genuinely thought I could trust the experts. I'm very disappointed to have been hoodwinked by the propaganda of 2020. What an idiot. He fell for it. But we want to forcefully remind you that though untested via the company's own admission, these products are safe and effective at stopping transmission. That's why your trusted politicians have aggressively intimidated you into taking them. Like Illinois Congressman Sean Gaston, who last year tweeted out, all Illinoisians 12 years and older are eligible for the... They are safe, effective, and key to our path back to normalcy. Everyone in my family, including my 14-year-old daughter, has started their... process. Very inspiring and helpful. And in sad news, we've just learned that the congressman's healthy 17-year-old daughter has just suddenly passed away from cardiac arrhythmia. While we truly are sorry to hear of her passing, There's no uncensored word yet on what caused her heart failure, but it was probably just old age. Onward we go. Joe Biden attempts to coerce a foreign nation into influencing the upcoming U.S. midterm elections. Biden asked the Saudis to cut oil prices until after the midterm elections in what appears to be an attempt to keep oil prices from soaring in order to manipulate more people into voting for Democratic candidates. But who's making these accusations? Because the only ones who would know the truth in the matter are Biden and the Saudis. Well, it turns out the Saudis are the ones that threw Biden under the bus that he himself was driving. This came when the Saudi Foreign Ministry released a statement saying President Dementia tried to coerce them into cutting oil prices until after the elections. Now, this is a big no-no and an impeachable offense for any president who runs a democracy. So luckily, Biden should be fine. And even though the Saudis aren't playing midterm ball with Biden, his administration still has hope that we'll have a free and fair election coming up, with a little help from Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. We hope the censorship strategies are going well, guys. Let's move on before we start thinking about this too much. Tulsi Gabbard has announced she's leaving the corrupt Democratic Party. She joins over 1 million people who have left the Democratic Party and registered as Republicans in the past year alone. But there's two sides to every story. Here is a comprehensive list of all the people who have left the Republican Party to join the Democrats in the past year. Why is this blank? In other news, Brandon is making his presidential mind more obvious than ever. This time while speaking of his son, Beau, who died in 2015 of brain cancer while at a hospital in Maryland. Take a look.
Just imagine, I mean it sincerely. I say this as a father of a man who won the Bronze Star, the Conspicuous Service Medal, and lost his life in Iraq.
Now, this will bring up two logical choices in your mind. Either he's the crazy one, or you're the crazy one. And the correct answer is you're the crazy one. Trust us. Everything's fine. It's fine. It's good. President Crime Bill's honoring of his deceased son, who now lost his life in Iraq, comes just 2 weeks after he attempted to raise a deceased congresswoman from the dead.
Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie?
What can we say? The president has a way with dead people. He's very relatable to them for some reason. And now we need a scapegoat to divert people's attention away from this. Oh, here we go. Alternative media personality Alex Jones has been court-ordered to pay $965 million in damages to Sandy Hook families. Jones is being ordered to pay nearly $1 billion for causing pain and suffering for telling lies about Sandy Hook. Pfizer's legal team is probably saying, you have to pay $965 million, Alex? Hold my beer. This just in. We at the media won't be ordered to pay anything for the pain and suffering we've caused in millions of people for the lies we've told over the past 2 years. This is good news and not surprising because the lies we tell are big enough and told often enough that you believe them. Thank you for your continued support. And we're relieved that Alex Jones is being held accountable because he's dangerous. What's going on in California? Well, the latest is a California school board is in hot water with some parents for defending a boy who was masturbating during class when they said, that's normal. Now, despite the school board defending him, there is speculation that the masturbating boy could still get in trouble with the school as he allegedly violated school rules when he didn't state his pronouns prior to masturbating in front of the class, which is just common decency that would allow the rest of the class to appropriately address the boy while they watch him masturbate. Back in my day, I wish I knew you could just do that. I would have enjoyed school a lot more. Moving along. Following Matt Walsh's expose on Vanderbilt Hospital's lucrative practices on slicing and dicing children's genitals out of this dimension in the name of stellar profits, the hospital received massive backlash from We Them There the People. In response, the hospital has announced they're pausing gender transition surgeries on minors. And this is downright heartbreaking for all of us who care about using children to advance Marxism for profit. We can't let this happen. We have got to work together, because together we can protect the children of our communities from being protected. Because the children in our communities are from our communities. And together, we are in our communities together with our children in our communities. Did I just accidentally quote Kamala? I feel presidential. And I feel the desire to lock up countless people for marijuana offenses. That's it for tonight's news. In response to Pfizer's admission, it's now more important than ever to obey the tyrannical medical industrial complex. Brandon's face would be red with embarrassment if he had cognition, and the people seem to be overpowering the tyrants. Tune in tomorrow night to see what our next move is, because the chess game's not over. Good night! Hey, I want to let...
Hey there! Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah!
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine. Just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world. Or your money back.
It's your turn. Time to get the vaccine.
You want to.
Sorry, you have to.
No.
Do it.
No.
You have no choice.
No.
Now. Now. Or else.
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
Get the vaccine or die.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness will teach you everything you need to know about how to choose your pronouns,
how to blame everyone else for your problem,
how to show the world just how wonderful you are,
the art of virtue signaling,
the basis of race, gender, and intersectionality,
the truth about American history,
problematic books,
and how to tell if a baby is racist.
Colin, but you can still listen. So here we are, and it's Dahl and Lorianne, and we are here with the Alaska Patriot Network. So glad you can tune in. Want to thank everybody that called in tonight, that tuned in and listened in. Follow the show on Blog Talk Radio, Alaska Patriot Network. And then, of course, the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne show.
Yes. We are double trouble. Lucid Libertarian
Amen.
Plus Alaskan Patriot equals double trouble.
Yeah. We got Oregon and Alaska here in the house going into that third hour, bonus hour, anything goes hour. All bets are off the table hour.
I love that GPS.
Listen to your own risk.
I love that part where he's talking about, like, you know, masturbating in school and, like, at least letting other people know that you're going to do it because that's the courteous thing to do.
Yes, and, of course, vaccinations. Sylvester the cat, total.
Like suffering succotash, but
suffering succotash. Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, thank you, Lorianne, for uploading the Vaccinate Me Elmo clip. I absolutely love
that.
I literally saw that, and then the woke cola, I had to. You know, and it just goes to say, I mean, where we're at as a society, as a whole. And,
we thought that Vaccinate Me Elmo would get outdated eventually, but here we are again, a year later, and it's still appropriate.
Are you sure only a year later?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
how long
does
that want to be?
Yeah, I think I originally uploaded it a little over a year ago, I think, when it first came out, because I remember we played it a lot because it was Christmas time. And leading up to Christmas.
Yeah, I always look at it as like a holiday thing. Like,
get your vaccinations for the holidays so you don't kill your grandma when you visit them for Christmas.
Exactly.
We have another variant, and we're also going to have a bad flu year, so it's like a double whammy. Everybody be afraid.
Get
your Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Exactly. Thank you. I know we don't have a lot of time left. You know, this kicked off at 9/11 when people signed on to the Patriot Act. And it felt good at the time. I know that people were on board because they thought they were doing the right thing. And it was a precursor for the scamdemic. It literally was a dress rehearsal for what we have submitted ourselves to, because people did this willingly. They were so quick to give up their freedom. And I'm not saying that, you know, I have nothing against keeping grandma alive, okay, or keeping people healthy or whatever, but that begins with common sense, not mandates, not shutting our country down, not shutting our world down. This is not a USA problem. And sadly, we don't have enough time left in the show. We always end up like this, but we never have enough time left to stress enough and or bring enough information to bring to light the crisis we're in. Like, this is not something that's past. It's not gone. It was just dress rehearsal. The big show hasn't happened yet, folks. Are you going to be ready?
Oh, yeah.
And we've talked about in the past, and I don't know. I've done, you know, a few dozen shows, and you've done more than a few dozen shows because I was off air for a while, and before my show, I was doing shows with other people, and we've been talking about this collectively for a very, very, very long time. I mean, this is not
And
just,
here's the kicker. We've been right all along. Every time we've said, this sounds
know,
like such conspiracy stuff. I know this sounds crazy, Betty. Like, we prefaced everything with, well, I know this sounds crazy, but the kicker is we've been right the whole time.
I know. I can't, I don't know how many times I've said on this very show, I know this sounds crazy. I know that, you know, like, you're going to feel uncomfortable with this, but here we go. And anymore, it's just spoiler alerts. I mean, it's not even like building up to scary. And I don't want to scare people. I mean, if I have to scare you straight, I'll scare you straight. But don't make me do that. It's ugly.
No, but here's the difference between what we're doing. If this is scary, if the it's better to scare people with the truth than continue allowing our government and media to continue scaring people with lie after lie after lie. That's the difference. Scary truth versus scary lies.
Well, I guess that's Freedom versus Patriot Act. Because that's what it kind of boils down to. I mean,
absolutely. You know, the Patriot Act opened up the door for all of it. Do you think that there would be such a thing as vaccine passports, as having apps on your phone and contact tracing and all that crap that went on? Do you think that that would have been at all possible if it weren't for the Patriot Act putting the apparatuses in place to begin with?
No, we paid the road for that through the Patriot Act, as well as our Second Amendment rights and every other right we've given up. It's sad what people will do for a little bit of security or safety. And that is the result and or the product of people not knowing what their rights are, not exercising what their rights are. I mean, if you have the mental stability or stamina to distinguish between the two, you have either submitted and given up all your rights and or you've said, no, this is where I live, this state, and we talked about this earlier before the bonus hour, states and versus federal rights, and held steadfast. I would say some people are I'm going to go out on a limb. Lorianne, what do you think the percentage of people are in the United States that know constitutional rights versus their state constitutional rights, their federal constitutional rights? A lot of people are like, no, the right to bear arms, the right to, you know, First Amendment, Second Amendment. But do you know how many people know what their state constitutional rights are?
I would say, and I'm being generous here, maybe 5%.
All right. You're way more, well, I don't know. I guess, oh, wait. I'm way more generous than you are. I thought it would be more people than that. And this isn't something like I fact-checked or you know, looked on any kind of site for. I mean, I'm just like shooting from the hip here. But a lot of people, I believe, do not realize that there is a difference between federal and state constitutional rights, that a lot of people pour it all into one pot.
Yeah, exactly. But I say about 5%, and the reason why is because I'm kind of trying to combine the percentage of people that are in the Libertarian Party or affiliated with the Libertarians and Constitution Party. Those two parties are the most likely to understand the difference between a state constitution and our federal constitutional rights. And, you know, the vast majority of Republicans and Democrats, I don't really think understand that difference, because I believe the two-party system has convinced them that way, unless you have like a libertarian leading Republican, then most of them have really no distinction between the two. And so that's what I base it on, is because according to the vote, you know, it's like, you know, libertarians are maybe 3% of the population, and then give another 1.5% or so to Constitution Party, and then the rest actual libertarian, patriot-minded Republicans. So that's where I come up with that number.
Yeah, I think that was a really astute, like, guesstimation. I mean, seriously, I would not have come up with formulation. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, literally could not agree more. I think it's so important that people understand their state constitution is just as important or more important than federal constitution. The federal constitution is a, you know, like I said, and the feds are like a CEO. And then you are the board member and or the shareholder. Without your state...
Yeah, I think shareholders is the better word. We're the shareholders.
Yeah.
The state, all 50 states are the shareholders of the federal government. Yeah.
Exactly. And when shareholders lose confidence, the federal... All right, we'll say we're shareholder, and I'm just going to use this for example. Federal government is federal government. We're the shareholder. And if federal government does not perform like the shareholder expects, shareholder confidence reduces. Therefore, that federal government opinion or stock or share is not as highly valued. We are just like the economic system. But in opinion, am I wrong?
No, not at all. Not at all. When the shareholders are not happy with what the CEO is doing, shareholders will fire the CEO and their staff, not just the CEO, but they'll go ahead and lay off all the people that were on a staff too, and replace them. And that's what we, the states, the shareholders need to do. That's the whole concept of the Convention of States, is to reel back in this authoritarian, tyrannical federal government and restore our state rights. And when we were talking earlier, I was reminded, you were saying how a lot of other countries wish that they had a constitution like ours and this United States of America concept. Well, what do you think the European Union is? The European Union is trying to copy the concept of the United States of America, because that's pretty much what we are. We are a union, you know, a union of states. And the federal government and our federal constitution, which limits our federal government, that is a contract. People don't think of it this way. It is a contract between the 50 states and our federal government. And the 50 states agreed to these basic set of rules that is our federal constitution. And that's how you have to think of it. That's part of the contract. But then all, but those, the authority given to it never gives up the state's rights. The states have never and cannot do so without it completely violating state and federal constitutions. We cannot give up our state rights. We cannot give full authority to the federal government. And so we've given up all of these authorities all along, little by little by little. But yet we cannot forget that the states can take it back. We can say, okay, federal government, you are in violation of your contract. The contract is the U.S. Constitution. You are in violation of it everywhere, you know, everywhere in it. You have violated it time and time again. We're done. You're done. And we can have a convention of states that restores the Constitution and amends it as needed and start fresh. We can start completely fresh if we want as a convention of states. And we do it all again and we say, okay, you know, we are preserving these parts of the Constitution. We're amending it to clarify it in these times. And we are going to overthrow our current federal government and we are going to replace it with under this new system. We can do it at any time. The union of 50 states,
yes,
we can all collectively get together and do it
legally.
And take it back.
Yes, we can.
And it's all legal. It's not tyranny. It's not treason to do it because it's put right there in our federal constitution that we can have a convention of states and we can take back every damn authority we have ever given to the federal government, take it back and restructure it the way we see fit. We have that power.
Yes, we do. Sadly, the federal government has segued away from the Constitution or the unionization of the states, that it has become in itself its own in the last couple years. And I'm not just pointing at the Biden administration. I mean, we've seen it time and time again, this ebb and flow where there is a stark contrast between the federal and state union. And at this point, I only see the federal government as a hostile entity or partner.
It is a hostile government. You can say it. We have been living under a hostile government for way too long.
Yes. And I'm really sorry if people don't like mean tweets or bad tans or orange hair or whatever you don't like about President Trump. But I will tell you, Lorianne, I was not crazy about Trump when he was running. But between him and Hillary, I'm sorry, it was a no-brainer. She's bad news.
She is mionically scary. Hillary Clinton, most Democrats are afraid of.
Even the libertarian.
She is just way, just no way does anybody want to be under her thumb.
Oh, yeah, no way. But when I was like, okay, so what do you mean? I have Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? You're fired? The dude who had a show? I mean, come on. I was so insulted as an American. And then I started looking at Donald Trump, and I was like, and this is not like, duh, you know, whatever. I am a Trump supporter. I'm not going to lie about it, but only because Donald Trump said, hey, this is what America needs. We need infrastructure. We need this. We need that. And as a businesswoman, I had to look at it from business. I was like, shit, yeah, Yeah, we need some good CEO. We need, and you know what? This guy doesn't care about my feelings. He doesn't care about anything except for this, this, and this. And I looked at his track record, and it was this promise agenda. And had it been an interrupted, I can look at his corporate fiscal responsibilities and his projects and da-da-da-da as a private businessman. And I'm like, this is the CEO America needs. I wasn't looking for a figurehead. I wasn't looking for a daddy. I was looking for somebody to run this shit show. You know, from a corporate standpoint, whether you liked him or not, fuel was cheaper. Food was cheaper. The market, the housing market was off the charts. I mean, come on.
And the human trafficking busts. You know, he promised that was the one thing that in his campaign promises, you know, before his first election, it was, you know, the first election for him or whatever, he promised that he would crack down on human trafficking. And it was maybe less than, I think it was in his first 90 days where he did an executive order allocating more funding and efforts toward fighting human trafficking. And it wasn't long after that where it was like every week we were seeing these big busts in the news of human trafficking. Human trafficking ring
Amen.
Here, human trafficking ring there. It was like every week there was a new big bust, you know, and I'm like, I'm loving this. You know, if there's one thing I give him credit for was it became very obvious that he was not joking about that. When he said in his campaign that he was going to crack down on human trafficking, he meant it and it showed.
Yeah, and you know the irony of it is Ukraine is one of the biggest, you would think Venezuela or Mexico or anything, but Ukraine was during Obama.
The holy land for human sex and child sex trafficking in the Ukraine.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And look at who this administration is protecting. I mean, that's a show in itself. I mean, seriously, Lorianne, that's something that could put us on target.
John Stewart gave a hero award to a Ukrainian self-professed Nazi, not shy about it, at fucking Disney World of all places. Just recently, I think it was like 3 months ago, a hero award to this Ukrainian that, I mean, he had Nazi tattoos. Social media post shows he's actively involved with others that are absolutely Nazis.
Well,
that's where
Disney,
we're at.
Nazi,
like the Nazis in the Ukraine are heroes now.
Hello. Oh, Lorianne, you know I've always held the firm belief that the Nazis that couldn't get out of Europe during World War II and flee to South America because they were holding too much wealth or they couldn't get out, they held steadfast in Ukraine. Ukraine is, and I'm not saying all Ukrainians are Nazis, but I am saying that those who are not Ukrainian are Russian. I don't know. Lorianne, I just don't know anymore.
Yeah, it's not the regular people. That's the thing. Like, most of the people, the real people, don't subscribe to it. But once again, we are funding and supporting the enemy to the tune of how many billions of dollars now in equipment and aid over the last, 8-9 months since the whole war in the Ukraine started. I mean, how many billions?
Yes,
and
exactly.
We're funding the enemy. They're the ones that are fighting. They're the ones that are in this stuff. It's these Nazis. We're supporting them now. And Russia's going like, what the hell? We fought these people together. Like, for once, Russia and the United States worked together to defeat the freaking Nazi, okay? And, like, now America is funding the Nazi against Russia. I mean, if you're a Russian, you've got to be scratching your head about that. Like, how does that happen?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And I'm not, you know, just saying, if for full disclosure, not wokeism, but, I mean, I'm not equating every Ukrainian as a Nazi. That's like saying every white person in America is a racist.
Or like saying all of the Germans subscribe to, you know, all of that stuff, too. I mean, there was a lot of Germans.
Exactly.
There.
You don't hear that.
You know?
Yeah, you're not hearing that. The only people in the world that are could potentially have racist feelings are Americans. And I'm so freaking sick of that. I am so sick of it. I mean, there are shits on both sides of the aisle. I mean, it has
exactly
to do with the color of your skin. Either you're a shit or you're not a shit.
Exactly.
You know,
they come in all forms.
Like good language. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we're in the bonus
and
hour, so you
said
know
that too. And I love Pianki. Pianki is like one of our. I mean, through my entire radio stuff, this guy has been a voice of reason.
Yeah.
And a good voice of reason. And even when racial tensions, full disclosure, Pianki is not
the
same color.
He's so knowledgeable on stuff. Yeah. Like,
oh,
Pianki,
Lord, love a duck. I love him. I
have nothing but good
I
to say about him, honestly.
Me too. I love him. I love Pianki. Even when I don't agree with Pianki, I love Pianki. But I like it because he knows who we are. And it just goes to say, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, folks, race doesn't matter. Rule of law matters. Constitutional conventions matter. Constitutional
exactly
versus state constitutional versus government matters. Forget your skin color. Forget where you came from. Forget everything. And I'm not saying don't lose where you came from. Some people are so sensitive these days.
Well, no, it's not give up your heritage or whatever. But it is a focus on the individual and individual rights. That is what our Bill of Rights were set up to, you know, uphold to begin with. It was just our individual rights. And that's what we need to focus on. Doesn't matter on color, doesn't matter what religion, doesn't matter whatever, you know, it's none of that matters. It's 2022. The only people that make race and sex and gender, you know, their entire, you know, worldview is filtered by those things and that division. So long as they allow the media to continue that division more and more and more, then it just continues. When most of us go through life and it doesn't faze us, you know, I just walked by a black person or an Asian person or we don't care, you know. The vast majority of us really don't care. You know? Unless you're, like, going to be a threat to me or, you know, or something, then we don't really care.
I mean, I didn't even see that. That is off my radar. Color is off my radar. I mean, you know, sudden curbs or drop-offs or cliffs, that's on my radar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, there is a physical difference, you know. I mean, there's physical features that are different, which is what makes all of our different races and colors and creeds a beautiful thing. Because, you know, if I'm somewhere and, you know, I see some really good-looking guy, and part of it is like, man, you are a really good-looking black guy. Like, all of the features, you know, that a lot of the African Americans have that's really done well in one person. You're just like beautiful all the way around with all of these features that me as a Scandinavian northern person would never have. You know, it's just one of those physical things, but that's what makes them beautiful. And so, like, it's not to deny that either. It's not, you know, it's just to recognize the beauty of it instead of trying to take race and put it into a certain class that, you know, society can manipulate into be one class or race being more valuable than another. And then, you know, and that's what they play on. That's what the Democrats play on all the time. That's what the media plays on, is this value system that's been attached to the color of your skin or your particular culture or whatever. one group more valuable than another, groupthink. That's where the problem comes in. And that's why I think, like, you know, it's really hard to even talk about it, because it's so easy for people to get offended, even when you're just simply acknowledging a truth. Like, yes, you know, you as this, you know, black or Asian or Central American or whatever, you know, or white, you know, with, you know, Norwegian and Swedish, you know, Norwegian and Swedish people have certain features that are obvious. You know what I mean? Like, you can look at a native Norwegian or Swede a lot of times and tell that they're Norwegian or Swede because they have the features, right? I have the features. It's just kind of easy to tell. But that's the beautiful thing, is what I'm saying, is like just valuing, you know, and acknowledging that there are physical differences does not mean that that's inherently racist. It's when you put a value system to it, one or over the other, that becomes the problem of racism. I'll shut up now. I know I went on a rant, and that's because I've partaken in a few things.
Exactly.
But
you're right on point, though, is that's where we're at. We're so afraid of being who we are. And there was so much emphasis for years about being yourself and be who you are. And now we're blocked in these corners. It's like before, the blacks were hiding. Now the white conservative Christians are hiding. And I'm not going to say it was just the white conservative Christians that are hiding, but I mean, this whole, oh, I'm sorry, I'm white. Well, heck, I'm no different than the black that was born 60 years ago that was born black. Not my fault. I mean, I was born this way. And are we going to do business or not? I mean, I just want to do business. I don't care about your feelings. I just want to do business.
I mean, if you remember two short years ago, you had to bend the knee to BLM. You know, at these rallies, if you were white, at these BLM rallies, they would literally have white people bending their knee to black people. You know?
Yeah, I went from,
like, we're supposed to apologize
to
for being white, and I'm so sorry.
No, I went from bending my knee in 2020 to 2022 to bending my knee to sharing my locker room with somebody I don't want to share my locker room with. I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah, biological males that are trans, and then you're supposed to treat them like they're a regular woman.
But,
Like,
that
yeah,
should come
that's
too. I think so.
No.
Or the show after that. But we are running out of time, folks. And Lorianne, I just want to thank you
it's
so much for being
with
us.
It's already been almost 3 hours. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Oh, I know. And
we didn't even get
yeah.
to the couple other clips that we had in mind either.
We didn't anyway. Talk about anything we were supposed to talk about. But anyway, so nobody tells what to talk about around here. We'll do it when we want.
Exactly. That always happens. But now, whatever we don't finish talking about on Friday nights on your show, we can continue talking about on my show on
yes.
Sunday nights. So it'll work.
Let's plug your show.
Yes, Lucid Libertarian. 6 to 9 p.m. Sunday night Pacific time. Do the math. And then Dahl joins me in the co-host chair. And we reverse roles and continue talking about latest news and go off on subjects and rattle on and on.
Yeah, you are loose in the third hour, aren't you?
I am. I take advantage of the bonus hour. I'm like, okay, I've committed myself to my regularly scheduled live time, and like the third time comes around, I'm like, okay, kind of, you know, refresh the drink, maybe take a couple of puffs, loosen
all
up
right,
a little bit more.
All right, you're on my show now.
It's still
she'll
permissible though, right?
Yeah, her show. yeah.
Oh yeah,
we'll
we team up
that.
Again. I'm gonna like it. I'm gonna
but
like
anyways.
Getting used to having our Fridays and Sundays together again. This is gonna be awesome.
I know. I'm not used to being like oh wait, our episode ended. But anyway, so I'm not used to being on, like, Friday nights. So that's new to me. But we're going to wrap it up here. And, Lorianne, thank you so much for joining me. Everybody, I want to thank you for tuning in. You're all awesome. And Pianchi and all of our other callers that didn't call in but joined us in chat, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And really glad to be here. Look forward to you being on with me. I love you, girl. You know it.
You know
and
it.
And I'm really just excited and happy and appreciative of you two. And hopefully, you mentioned that you might not have a show next week, right? Because you're going to be on a flight somewhere.
I think we might try to do a Thursday night show. And if my co-host is so kind, or and if she is unable to broadcast on Friday night, like play the whatever clip.
Well, I was going to say, if you can't do it Friday, then just pick one of your past episodes and I can help set up, episode to fill in a best of and play one
but
of your past ones like where
Thursday
you have a guest
night.
On or something.
Yeah, I'd rather do like a Thursday night and then just replay it on Friday because we've got a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of election stuff, and I just want to keep it as current as we can. I do have some family stuff coming up on Friday night or on Friday and travel, so I'm not going to be able to do a Friday night show. And I didn't want to hold that back from tonight's show. Every episode's important. Every listener is important. Everybody that listens out there, thank you so much for, listening in. And I love this format because it's so voyeuristic.
Well, it's like a party line, a party line with a chat room, and it is a pretty cool format, and it's just exciting, and like I said, yeah, if you do a show on Thursday night, then I can help set it up so that it can be like a replay on Friday night. So that way, you know, there's still something on during your usual time.
That'd be great.
You can't help but that stuff came up and you're going to be, you know, in the air and yeah. Traveling, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this broadcast right now, tune in next Thursday night. We'll do a broadcast, and God forbid, you know, Lorianne can't do it. She can't do it. God willing,
I can.
She will.
You know I'll be there.
So, yeah, I know you will. That's awesome. Anyways, so everybody, a very loose ending to my show tonight. Not usually this comfortable with the nighttime hour and everything, but hey, here we are. So thank you so much for tuning in. And Lorianne, thank you so much. And we are going to log off. Thank you, Lorianne. Good night.
Are you going to play a song to end it?
Oh, my goodness. What should I play? I think I should.
End it with a song and then end it.
What?
Yeah.
Only if
play a song and then end it.
Play a...
Oh, you can't because the switchboard is shut down.
Okay. All right. Well, then forget that. All right, everybody. Good night. Love you.
It's shut down.
God bless.
Sorry. Yeah. Love you, too.
That's my tech
good
girl.
Night.
Hey. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.